Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition specializes in very clean, very pure supplements that will help your body and at the same time disadvantaged young people from El Salvador form the tools to have a better life. Every product bought from Triple R Nutrition supports this vital ministry and your body and fitness goals. Go check them out.
That's right. Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. Tune in, people. Every episode is impactful. You become more burly just by listening. Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo. And today, you guys, we got a super special guest for you guys. We got Tim Carter on the podcast today, the coach at the Cleveland Clinic, and he is the author of the Find a Way book, along with a lot of other things. So, Tim, thank you for joining us today.
Well, guys, thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, so let's get right into it. So if you could give the people that may not know you a quick elevator pitch on who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tim Carter, born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. Went to Walsh University for college, played college football there, coached the staff a little bit, have a little over 10 years of experience in the fitness industry as a strength conditioning coach, as a trainer. In many different areas, have my marketing degree, my MBA from Walsh, just a lot of great experiences that I had in Canton, Ohio at Walsh. So I've been up here ever since 2011. My wife and I live in Green, which is like a suburb of Northeast Ohio. And we have our 2-year-old daughter, Sloan, expecting our second one in March. So just, extremely blessed to have lived the life that we have lived and just all the experiences that we've had, the relationships, the connections, everything that have brought us to this current point right now. So there's always different levels, right? There's always another level to life. And, just kind of excited to be a part of that, personally, professionally, spiritually, wherever that goes. So,
it's not every day you meet a coach and trainer from the Cleveland Clinic. That is a renowned organization that, it's a regional hospital. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that you're on staff at the Cleveland Clinic is, hey, that should tell all our listeners, this guy's a big deal. But as you are working with people, can you just talk a little bit about what you see in your clients or patients, however you refer to them? The topic is resilience here. Can you tell us some of the things that you see in the resilient patients, the ones that are able to withstand and recover from difficulties better?
Absolutely. Well, what I'll say is this. I think everybody in this world at some point, some way, shape, or form deals with some kind of adversity, trial, tribulation, whatever you want to call it. For me, my thing is always meeting people where they're at individually, whether that's being a coach, a trainer, a friend, husband, father, whichever role that I'm playing in. But, with my clients specifically, and I've trained anybody that's as young as age 6 to age 85. So I've had that wide range and just experiencing, their stories, their paths, maybe some challenges they face. My thing has always been, hey, I want to meet that person directly where they're at, how well they move or may not move currently. And let's see if we can get to that next level. Let's see if we can get a little bit better today and see how we do the next session and that compound effect over time. That's kind of like the end, not the end result, but what we want to continuously see is that self-improvement for them. Again, whether it's a high-level athlete or someone who's just looking to improve their health by working out 30 minutes a day, I thrive in situations like that just to help that person. So I think that's kind of where everything starts, right? That desire to help people.
That 1%, I like to talk about the power of compounded interest, right? We all hear about that when it comes to money. If you save money when you're 25, it's going to, double every 7 years. You're going to have that power of that compounded interest. And it's the same thing, though. If we're just 1% better this week than we were last week, we don't have to kill it. We don't have to crush every workout. If we're just 1% better, that power of compounded interest will add up over time, no matter where we're starting.
Absolutely. I think that's also one of the biggest struggles that we all have as humans is, you know, sometimes we want to see like that microwave effect. Like we want to see the results right away. We want to see them that next week or that next month. And sometimes, like, you know, whether you're dealing with some kind of adversity and you're battling through it, like you just want to see like, man, I just want to be healthy, right? Because, you know, he or she who has their health has 1,000 dreams and wishes. He or she does not has one wish, their health. So health is like that driving factor. And if we don't have that, we're like, man, like I really wish I had that right away. But when we really dial into the fact that like, hey, maybe it's like just one thing that we need to work on, we just keep improving it, those results end up being pretty big, whether we know it or not. And we figured out, oh, if I started on January 1st, December 31st might be pretty big if you stay consistent, right? So yeah, that compound effect is huge in anything.
Yeah, I love what you guys are both talking about with the 1% of growth. And it really goes back to one of my favorite books, The Slight Edge, where in the book he talks about how, and really he dives into every aspect of life and finance and fitness and everything about how if you can make that 1% difference, it's going to grow over time. And so with your people that you work with, how do you keep them focused on working in that 1%? Like you said, a lot of people, we just want that pill that makes it go away. We just want to be fit right away. But how do you keep people focused on that incremental small growth, because it's not really what they're looking for right then and right now, whereas they'll eventually get there?
Absolutely. You know, I think one thing that's also extremely important when you're working with people, and this is any industry, not just within, you know, fitness and health and wellness, when you're meeting with people, when you're talking with them, when you're having conversations, you know, you want to understand like, hey, what ultimately is making you happy? What is bringing you joy? Like, what does fulfillment look like to you? And sometimes when people say, well, I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to gain X amount of skeletal muscle mass, oftentimes there's like a deeper layer to it. Like, hey, I just want to be healthy enough so I can pick my grandkids up when I'm older. Or I want to be healthy enough where, you know, I can do this. Okay, I can, you know, start this journey of, you know, whatever it is they want to go into. And so when I have those conversations with people, like motivation dies. It always does. And so what it always comes back to is your habits. Like when you wake up in the morning, like is the first thing you're doing, are you checking your phone, are you checking social media, are you checking your email, or are you just kind of spending that time in quiet and solitude? Maybe you're journaling, maybe you're reading something. So I always peel it way back with clients like, hey, okay, you know, I know we haven't seen results after these first 2 weeks, but like, tell me about how's your sleep? You know, how's your nutrition? How's your interactions with people? Because a lot of that stuff, a lot of that stress can greatly affect like your actual like results with your physical health too, and your mental health, right? So there's always a deeper layer to it. It's like peeling onions back one layer at a time. But every person's different. So you have to approach it in a way like, hey, I know you, you know, inside and out. I know your personality. So like, let me see how I can best serve you. And a lot of that is asking open-ended questions, not yes or no questions, but hey, tell me more about this. And then at that point, you know, your training session becomes 98% counseling and 2% training. So there's always deeper levels to it, which I greatly appreciate about that. That's like the human element, right?
And that's one of the things I appreciate about you, Tim, is you're a very real and genuine person who is unafraid to be vulnerable. As a matter of fact, we first got to know each other this year in Florida together at a conference where you were sharing about the things you've been through and you've had to withstand and recover from and the difficulties in your life. Would you just talk about resilience in your own life?
Absolutely. And man, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because there's a lot of times where we don't want to open up about those things because there's like this inferiority complex that we all have, like, well, if I share that, no one's going to really pay attention to it. No one's really going to care. No one's going to understand, you know, what you're going through. But it's actually the opposite effect. And like when you're real and when you're vulnerable and you're authentic and you tell it like it is versus hiding behind like a filter, a lot of people can relate because everybody has different, you know, challenges, adversities, all that kind of stuff. But if you put your stuff out there, man, more than likely one person is going to connect with you. And then you build like a relationship from there with that person, whether it's as a friend, as a coach, as a teammate. And it helps. It helps in that growth pattern along the way. So for me personally, you know, when I was younger, like in high school, college, even a few years after that, like I, you know, my confidence wasn't that great, like self-belief and like what I was doing. So like anything that I was struggling with or having trouble with, like I was just almost like afraid to tell people about it. It's like, oh, well, You know, if I tell people about it, people will say that's soft or that's weak. And that's kind of like that like old school adage, like, oh, well, you know, you can't feel a certain way about this. But I think it's the opposite effect. Like, vulnerability is strength. Strength is vulnerability. So for me, and I'll share this example, like, you know, in my college football career at Walsh, like, I struggled heavily in those first few years. You know, I was a place kicker, I was a punter, I was a safety, but my field goal kicking, like, it was just, it just didn't go well, like, for some of the games, right? And I was just kind of just getting in my own head about it. And it was kind of just dragging me down a lot. I didn't really let any of my teammates know about it. I didn't let my coaches know. I didn't even let, you know, my parents or any significant other in my relationships know about it. And it was really taking a toll on me. And when you're an 18 to 22 year old kid, you don't really fully understand how to properly deal with adverse situations, right? Like, you just think, hey, let me just, well, next play mentality, mental toughness, right? So over time, what's helped me is having a great network of coaches, of mentors, of people to help me figure out good strategies to work through that. And so, you know, you fast forward from, you know, whether it's my sophomore, junior year, college to right now, it's like, man, like, what's the conversation I would have with 19-year-old Tim Carter in this position right now? Hey, you know, keep pushing through it, but at the same time, acknowledge where you're at, and this is how you get better, by incrementally improving just one thing, and you'll find out that compound effect. So we talk about opening up about adversities. I think that's huge, is that's where you find the strength in doing so, is being yourself and not anybody else, because comparisons is the thief of joy, right? So that's how I view it.
Yeah, there's no win in comparison. And I definitely agree with you. I encourage people, we're always afraid that by being vulnerable and by letting the wall down and people see the mess inside, that it's going to push people away. But as you have said, I 100% agree with you and tell people this frequently, that instead of pushing people away, people see the strength it takes to be willingly vulnerable, and they're drawn to that strength, right? It's definitely the opposite effect of what we have.
Yeah.
What we, and I think, are the expectations we have, I should say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, adversity is anything, any situation. It's not just being an athlete. It's not just being a student. It's like the small things that you deal with on, like, a daily basis. Like, when you wake up and, like, you don't feel good, like when you're sick during that fall to winter to springtime, like, where you got the allergies, like, I don't feel like doing this, or something happens at work and you get, like, a nasty email, like, well, that email just riled me up. Like, adversity is in so many different situations. And now it's about, hey, how can I best respond to this versus react, you know, reacting off of emotions or responding based on your principles, your core values. So how can I now move the needle forward and make sure, like, hey, I'm aligning with who I am, what I should be doing in this situation. And you instantly feel better about it when you make, like, those good decisions, because maybe you make the wrong one. You're like, you know, you're creating that ripple effect, and it could be negative or it could be positive. So based on if you're reacting, based on, like, your emotions, or, like, how you instantly feel versus responding, which, again, like, are your principles, your core values, you know, who you are called to be, who you actually are. Well, there's a huge difference in that. And you can either be a downward trend or an upward trend based on your own responses. So that's how I always view, you know, taking on any kind of adversity, no matter how small, how big, whichever.
And you, when you say small or big adversity, I mean, things like what you went through in your athletic career were really just shaping and molding you and giving you a chance to build those resilient muscles, right? Because then life gets even harder. And I mean, even in your own personal and family life, you've had to really overcome.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, you know, and to your point, you know, those things that I experienced younger, like, you, at the time, you don't understand, like, why it's happening, but now you do later on in life. Like, that lesson that, you know, what it taught you in terms of staying the course. You know, personally, I'll share this. You know, earlier this year, you know, my wife had a miscarriage, and that was one of, if not the most challenging time that together we had been through in our own family life. And so, you know, this happened in March, and we just had so many things going on, you know, professionally as well, you know, trying to grow your family, and you got your almost 2-year-old daughter that you're also, you know, being laser focused on, like, in terms of her growth and trying to move the needle with that. So it's oftentimes, like, when you experience stuff like that, it allows you to kind of take a step back, take a deep breath and go, okay, you know, what are the most important things in our life right now? And those are the things we should focus on. So obviously the most important things for us, you know, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my daughter, and then our relationship with our daughter and what we consider to be home, like the foundation, the core of our family values. Hey, let's take a step back and not like start over, but like, let's really think, hey, how can we move forward from this? You know, how can we connect and be closer with God? How can we include that faith aspect? Because that's huge. You know, with faith, man, everybody has a different viewing of how that looks, which is great. But I also think that at some point you have to have like a sense of self, a sense of like believing in something of a higher calling. And that's so important to have like as you go throughout this journey of any kind of adversity. So for us, you know, leaning into each other, you know, leaning into God, leaning into prayer, leaning into, you know, finding like little simple things that bring us joy and fulfillment. And, you know, on the other side of pain, that's where joy comes in. So, you know, working through that, acknowledging the emotions and the challenges that come with it, and then taking lessons from it that turn into aha moments. And for us, you know, we're very blessed to know that we have our second child coming in March of this next year. So those are the things I think about. I was like, man, like what, you know, what was God trying to teach us in that moment? Right. And I think for us, it was like, hey, how can we become closer as a family, as a couple, and lean into each other during these hard times? And guys, that's not just, you know, with family stuff. That's also professionally. That's also in your physical, mental, and emotional health. That's in your personal happiness. It's in your relationship. It's with everything, right? Like leaning in to your relationship, to your circle, to your network. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, in those tough times, we're either going to turn to one another or turn on one another, right?
Absolutely.
And we can start blaming and finger pointing and criticizing someone's reaction as they're dealing with their own grief or their own frustration or their own disappointment. And because their grief or frustration or disappointment doesn't look like mine, well, then obviously you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Instead, as the title of your book says, find a way. Instead, you and
literally
your wife found a way to turn to one another and turn to your faith. And I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And, you know, to add to that point, too, what I want to say is everything that I'm saying, it's like I'm not perfect. Like none of us are perfect in terms of like how we respond to every single thing that happens. And there's like a lot of emotions that come with it. There's some emotions that you don't even know come out of it because you've never experienced it before. And there's things that happen. What I'll say is what helps in that self-improvement process and the resilience part is like learning from it. Like losses become learned from, right? And so that's like the added piece that I'll say to that is like that resistance is for you and not against you. That's how you continue to grow in any way, shape, or form in your life.
I love everything that you're talking about here. And one of the things that I kind of wanted to go back on, as you were talking about core values, and I once heard a performance coach at Perform Better talk about the importance of having core values so then you can align your decision making with those core values. So if you could tell us a little bit about how you personally develop your core values and then how you can help, how you help other people as they develop their own core values that help to guide your decision making.
Love that. Look, you know, core values are the center of who you are as an individual. And for me, you know, one of the things, and I've actually shared this with some of the mastermind and some people in my circle is, you know, how I've developed my own core values. I actually use the letters of my name, Tim Carter, and each letter represents a core value that I have. So like, I'll give you a few examples. T is tenacious, like get after it, right? And anything that you do, you got to have a certain purpose and desire of optimally being the best that you could be. You know, I is integrity. Integrity, hey, I know you're doing the right thing when people are watching, but how about when people aren't watching? When you're by yourself, are you making the right decisions? And then M is, you know, motivating as I'm getting, you know, fired up right now talking about all this. But guys, like that, like the core value aspect, like that, like really is your purpose, like your divine purpose in this world. And no, like your purpose is not, okay, I'm a trainer at Cleveland Clinic. Like that's not my purpose. Like my purpose, like my favorite hat is coach, because a coach can be a great husband, a great father, a great teammate, a leader, son. Like that is like divine uniqueness. And when you really peel it back to like what is in your heart, soul, that just permeates out into the universe to make everybody better, that's why core values are so important, because it guides everything that you do, right? Tenacious. I want to be tenacious in how great of a parent I can be. I want to be tenacious in how great my health can be as I'm training for a Spartan race or an Ironman or a half marathon or a 5K or, you know, doing my daily walk, right? I want to be tenacious in how much better I can improve my relationship with my wife or my teammates or coworkers. It all adds up. And so core values, I love that any company or any person that can really dial it back and start from that foundation, like that's how you seek ultimate fulfillment and you push past barriers and break through them, is you realize like, hey, I got this. Let's go.
Woo, I'm getting fired up. How about you, Alton? I just love it, Tim. You got me ready.
On a Friday afternoon, let's get after it, baby.
Man, I feel like, yeah, I hope all our listeners are hearing this like on a Monday morning drive to work, because now they're going to drive in ready to tackle it, baby.
On repeat, man, on repeat. That 90 seconds or however long that was, man, let's go.
Let's do it. You know, I have been so blessed. People will ask me, you know, how the podcast is going. And, you know, I tell them, I just cannot believe the quality of guests that we've been able to get on our podcast. You know, people have just really brought so much knowledge and authenticity, things that are going to genuinely help other people, you know, to withstand and recover from difficulties. And I'm so thankful you were willing to come on. I've really enjoyed knowing you. And, you know, the knowledge that you're dropping and the things that you're sharing, I know they're contained in your book, Find a Way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk a little bit about what inspired you to go, because obviously you train people and obviously you have the capability of being articulate and telling these things to people, but something inspired you to spend all the time it would take to write all these things down in the form of a book. What really got you motivated to do all that?
Man, if I had to really think of like the one thing, what's really cool is I think a lot of the things that, you know, we eventually get better at, they start off as maybe like our weaknesses, right? Maybe they start off as something that like we're completely new to, right? And so what I'll say is this, like when I was in grade school, high school, even like the first few years of college, like I hated public speaking. I hated writing papers. Like I was awful. Like I was that kid presenting in class and everyone's like, ooh, Tim's like getting ready to present. Like I bet he's going to mess up. Like I was that kid that stuttered, stammered, hated it. So nervous. Now, like, as I've worked at it, as I've dialed in on habits, it's been like one of the greatest things ever for me. Like, I love it. I love helping people out, writing, all that. Journaling became a huge thing for me immediately after I graduated from college, my undergrad. Like, I started doing it, like, while I was in grad school, I was coaching college football while I was working in admissions. I was like, man, like, this is some good stuff. And so when we think about it, I have this old notebook from, like, 2018, and it was the first time that I met Todd Durkin, who is a great coach for me. I'm in his mastermind. And I just remember writing so many gems that I got from being at this 3.5-day mentorship retreat back in 2018 in February. And like, it was like half full. And so I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this as a daily practice in the morning for 10 minutes and before I go to bed for 10 minutes and just empty my brain out so I can get better sleep, which I got better sleep because I emptied my brain out. And so we fast forward to like, how did this come about? I was in Whitefish, Montana in April 2023. This is April 19th, 2023, last year. And Larry Indiviglia, so Todd's right-hand man who had been with the mastermind and just, you know, been in the fitness space for over 30 years, one of the wisest people that I know. And if you think of like Star Wars and Yoda, like that's literally Larry. Like anything that he says to you, you should listen. Anything he tells you to do, you should definitely do it. Like he's one of those guys. I remember having this really deep conversation with him on the couch. I'd known him a while, maybe five or six years. And we were talking about life, about the retreat, about purpose, about training, like you name it, we were talking about it. And he gets up off the couch to walk away because he's going to the airport. And he turns around, he says, Tim, you should write a book. I can't wait to read it. And then he just walks away. He doesn't say anything else. And I'm sitting there like, Larry, like, what do you mean by that? And he keeps walking, like doesn't answer the question. And I'm like, well, okay, let's see where this goes. Well, as like the months went on that year, like I kept just having some like God winks, like, hey, writing has been pretty good. You've been on that journaling pattern. You've been really disciplined with it. You got some good stuff here. ooh, you've been putting some good posts out to people, and it seems like it's really connecting with people, that connection, the human connection, whether it's me training, having conversations, or something I put on Instagram, whatever. And then Kelly Watson, who's one of the coaches in the Todd Durkin Mastermind, who I've known, and if you can read about Kelly Watson in chapter 3 in the book, she is a co-owner of Scripter Publishing Group, her and Greg Justice. And I remember that next retreat that I went into in October, the flight over, I was writing like a madman about what my expectations were for this retreat, for the end of 2023, what I wanted to gain from this. And I was like, my gosh, I'm going back to what Larry told me, like, hey, let's write a book. I'm like, let's see what that process looks like. So I had that conversation with Kelly. I'm in San Diego of October last year. As soon as I got home, like I started, I think I wrote like 2 or 3 chapters like that following day. And I ended up finishing the actual content of May, at the end of May of this year. So maybe 7 months it took me to write that. But there was a lot of edits, a lot of drafts, a lot of like back and forth with Kelly and Greg. I'm like, hey, what sounds good? Like, hey, this really hits somebody, or maybe I should go deeper on this and share my story, right? Like share the authenticity, share the struggles, share the challenges, the adversity. And once I really honed in on that, once I really started sharing like what actually matters in this world, that's when I was like, got it right there. Core values, boom. Purpose, boom. Adversity, boom. And it just, that's how it comes about. We take our experiences, we put it on paper. And if you feel called to put it out into the universe, there you go. Tap into the whispers.
Definitely. And going back to what you were saying earlier, when you're vulnerable with that, your experiences, that's just going to relate to more people. And kind of going back a little bit when you're talking about how you kind of feel when you have these insecurities about yourself, you kind of hold them inside. And one thing that I heard is the devil likes to make you feel like you're alone with your temptation, like you're the only person that struggles with this. And so it's great to hear you being so vulnerable and then being able, willing to put that into print and going as far with that. You brought up journaling, and journaling something that I'm really fascinated on, and I love bringing it up whenever we have guests on here. So if you could talk a little bit more about that, what key aspects do you really focus on when you're journaling?
Yeah, so what I'll say is this. On the outside looking in, you're like, okay, journaling is a great habit to start doing. It seems pretty easy just like to write on paper. Sometimes, guys, and I'll share this with you, in that process of writing that book, there were some days like I didn't write anything. I was like completely just, I was burnt out. I had no content. What I was like, I don't even like, why am I writing this book? So I kept questioning myself, like, oh, is this really going to be, you know, should I put this out there? Like you keep asking those questions in your mind, like the head trash, right? Journaling for me, once I got to that point, okay, what's the next level of journaling look like? What I started doing when I was stuck, I just literally wrote down what was in my head when I woke up that morning. Like, so not like it transformed from like, hey, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. But like at some point, you're going to kind of face like some, how do I put this? Like you're going to face some pauses like in your mind where you're like, you have no idea what to write about. You have no idea like what to do for your workout. You have no idea what to cook for breakfast, whatever. For me, I just started brain dumping, right? And so like whatever hits your brain, like whatever you're thinking about, bam, write it down. Sometimes like song lyrics are stuck in my head. I start writing the song lyrics down. And then I'm like, okay, let me dive deeper, like later in the day. Why was I thinking about that song? Was it because I was listening to it while I was working out? Did it have some kind of meaning as to what happened last week when I was training this client or teaching this cycle class? So everything has meaning to it. So whether you're writing for 5 minutes or for 5 seconds, put it on paper. Because more than likely, something you put down is going to come into fruition at some point. And so sometimes that's words. Sometimes like you just got to squiggle and make some like silly pictures, stick figures, however good of an artist you are. That's what's always helped me, is that creative part, that childlike curiosity of just putting, you know, pen to paper, markers to paper, whatever it is. That's always helped me get whatever I need to get out of my head, right? So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That pen to paper, there's just something different about it. And I feel like, unfortunately, we're kind of losing touch with it with all the technology that we have now. But nothing beats that pen to paper. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. And I think, too, to add to that, and this is for anyone who's listening that doesn't want to journal or write. Hey, that's great. But I challenge you to find something that can give you that same like euphoric, cathartic, and therapeutic feeling. Maybe that's Maybe that's listening to an audiobook. Maybe that's downloading a free recording app and just telling your thoughts into that recording. And it's only for you, right? Journaling doesn't have to, like, you don't have to put it out to everybody else like I did, but maybe use that only for you, right? Because that's where it starts, is like, hey, I feel good about writing this. I feel good about speaking this into existence. And that's like, just like your little reminder, like you're capable of doing it, right? So whatever it is, like if you feel comfortable writing, good. If you would rather like talk it out, bam, there we go. There's so many apps that you can do. You can even open up your camera app and start and hit video and just put your phone right there and just start talking. I do that sometimes to actually see like how I sound before I'm going to give like a talk to a group. I'm like, ooh, how did that sound? Did that sound okay? Am I hitting the right people? Am I messaging that right? So it's the same thing with journaling, with you know, that self-talk. And with putting it out there to the world.
It's a tremendous way to get unstuck, right? Because yes, our minds are incredibly powerful. And when there's something going on in our soul that's worrying us, that's stressing us, we can just get into that loop. And it's, as you say, it's on repeat. And it's bouncing around and bouncing around. And maybe not always at the forefront of my conscience, but it's bouncing around in my soul, in my subconscious. And that's why it's improving our sleep, right? Because we're getting to the place where we're giving space for these things to be dealt with. Metacognition, right? Thinking about thinking. Whether that's journaling. And prayer is another form of metacognition that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. Because you're thinking about and giving voice to the things that are on your mind and concerning you. But yeah, the power of the mind is incredible. And if we can just give ourselves that space, like you said, whether it's video or whether it's talking to a therapist, or the power of writing it down, if we will just allow that to happen, it's amazing the things that will come out, that the discoveries we'll make.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, like that vulnerability is really a strength. Like when you allow yourself to do that, give yourself grace to, like, how often do we not give ourselves grace with things that happen? I gotta always perform at the highest level possible. Guys, like professional athletes don't even do that. Like we look at like some of these high level quarterbacks, like sometimes Patrick Mahomes has a bad game, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, right? But we have created this thing, like everybody that is at this level, like you have to have a perfect game. And then we boil it down to ourselves, like, well, I have to eat perfect. I gotta be 100% versus 80-20 or 75-25. No, it allows you that room for improvement. That's, you know, like in school, we learned about Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like that self-actualization at the top of that pyramid. That is there because we are never supposed to hit that. Like there's always room for improvement. We all have something to work on. So that's kind of how I consider it, is like, man, that grace period is good. Now I can take a step back and figure out, ooh, I can do that a little bit better. Maybe I should put a little bit more effort into that. And so it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. A lot of the times you see football game, NFL games, like you were saying, they're not always pretty. Sometimes you just got to find a way to win the game, right? In those situations, literally. Oftentimes it's not going to be pretty in the moment, but that's just how life is, right? It's not a simulation. It's not going to be perfect in that way. And when you're talking about the recording yourself, one thing I thought about is David Goggins talks about how he, when you're struggling with like not having motivation, you record yourself kind of whining about it, and then you listen back to it to kind of hear how you're talking about it. And it kind of made me think, do you ever look back and reflect? I'm assuming you did, since you wrote a book based off of your writings, but how often do you go back and reflect on your journaling?
Oh man, all the time, to be honest. And I reflect on the journaling, and I reflect on like the actual like experiences. And I talk about this a little bit in the book, but man, one of my favorite coaches, John Fankhauser, he's the guy that recruited me to Walsh. I've been my coach the entire time. Just a great, great guy. Old school coach, like played fullback for Youngstown State when Jim Tressel was the coach. He once told me that like his workouts were like carrying milk crates and like carrying bricks. And like, that's why his forearms are so big. I just remember my freshman year, spring ball, it was like 15 degrees. It was raining, like horrible weather, Northeast Ohio. The day before it was like 70 degrees, all this stuff. And that semester, like I was like sick every week. Like I think I lost like 15 pounds that week. Couldn't eat. Appetite was horrible. My mindset was not where it needed to be. And it was affecting my, my schoolwork. It was affecting my play on the field. And it was actually affecting like my current relationship at the time. Because like all those things add up. I remember like I had strep throat that week, and it was like the second to last day of spring ball. We were warming up, and like my face was like pale. I was just like pouting. I was like, I don't want to be out here, all this kind of stuff. It sounds really whiny, right? Like when you really look back at like an 18, 19 year old kid, you're like, man, that was So he comes up to me, he's like, hey, how are we feeling today, Tim Carter? And I'm like, I literally told him everything I just told you guys. Like I was making like all these excuses, complaining, whining. And man, like he grabbed me by the shoulder pads and gave me like a nasty forearm and I was wearing a helmet. So like, I was like, oh, joke's on him. Like, no, he just bam, laid into me. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I'll tell you why. It has nothing to do with the fact that like my coach put me on my butt, but I have known Fank for 2 to 3 years before that. He knew me inside and out. He knew my core values, what I stood for. He knew my family. He knew my parents. We had deep conversations about what I wanted out of life. All this stuff, he knew me inside and out. And so at the end of practice, after he got done just, you know, pretty much beating up on me the whole time, he put his hand on my shoulder and we walked back to the locker room. He's like, hey, you know why I was so hard on you? And I was like, no. And I was just being like the immature kid, like, ah, no, I don't know why. Like, why'd you do that? He's like, you know, that wasn't the Tim Carter that I recruited. That wasn't the Tim Carter that I know on a personal level. The guy that, you know, is so passionate about this and making people better and all this, like the leader within you, like there's like another person inside of you and I want you to pull him out. And what he was challenging me to do was to literally unlock my best self. And man, like I'm so thankful for that because like go back to, you know, your question about like, hey, do you look back on some things? You're like, ah, oh, I could have done that better. You know what? I could easily say, I wish I would have reacted better. Actually, I am perfectly fine with how I reacted because I would have never gotten that lesson from Coach Fankhauser that day. And I'm telling you, I think about that all the time whenever I'm in moods like that. I'm like, what would Fank say to me right now? To that 19-year-old kid at the time. Okay. You know, maybe it isn't about, you know, suck it up, because suck it up can be taken loosely in today's society. But what it does mean is like, man, like you have an opportunity to take this adversity head on and you decide what is the best direction for you to move forward. Are you going to pout, complain, make excuses, or are you going to figure out, you know what? Okay. This isn't it. This is an odd situation. Let's get a little bit better. And that's how I frame my thinking when I look back on my old journaling, current journaling, old situations, relationships, connections, interactions. That's how I look at things now. And when I do that and I move the needle forward, I'm in a better place because of it.
Sounds like we have pretty similar college coaching experiences. My college wrestling coach is a pretty old school guy and big on no excuses. And it was one thing.
Yeah.
I don't have a specific moment like that, like where I got knocked on my butt, but he is similar in the aspect of no, like we're not letting the extenuating circumstances affect our performance, right? I remember my first year competing, I had really bad issues with my hips and they hurt all the time, and he never let that be the excuse. That was never something, never a reason to not do something, never a reason not to perform at the highest level, even though it might have been affecting my performance. It's just, and he never made it something. It was never like, oh, that's okay, sit off to the side, right? And that's something that now as I'm getting older, I'm starting to respect him more for that and starting to learn from that more in that regard. Because in the moment, it's like, dang, this guy's a jerk. I hate him. Like, this sucks, right?
Exactly. Yep. And you find out, man, that was exactly what I needed. And that's literally what Find a Way is, not just to like talk about the title of the book, but literally like when you're sick, I'm not saying like, hey, you have to go work out if you're sick, but if you're sick, find ways to get a little bit healthier, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe fuel up a little bit better, get some electrolytes in your system, eat something that fuels your body, right? When your body is aching, maybe it's time for a recovery day. Maybe it's time to do some yoga or get in the sauna or the cold plunge. Cause I love like how we are with cold plunges right now. But there's always something, like you can literally find ways to get better.
Yeah. You know, that 1% can be in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And finding a way to do that, even when you're down. You know, like you said earlier, I love it when people come on the podcast and use the rules of resilience without us prompting them. But, you know, the perfect is the enemy of the good. And you were describing that earlier, right? And we know that's the case because something is better than nothing. right? And so, you know, if I am sick and down and can't work out, well, can I do a recovery day instead of just, oh, I'm going to sit on the couch? Well, what if I stretch out? What if I get that cold plunge or, you know, whatever it is? And it's the same. What if I actually rest and give my body the rest it needs instead of laying on the couch scrolling or watching TV or something, you know? And same thing. Or what if I do some things with my sleep hygiene at night, like read and get off the screens earlier so I can get better rest? But there's just always that way to say, okay, something here is going to be better than just doing nothing and sliding backwards into my failure and soaking in it. Basically.
And I'm going to give you a quick shout out, Coach. You kind of had that. You had mono leading up to DECA World Championships, and you absolutely crushed your DECA Strong Race. Just wanted to give you a shout out for that. Got to see it firsthand. That was pretty sweet.
Man, that's what it is, man. It's like, do something about it, right? It's, you can always improve at something.
Yeah, give it that 1% and just knowing that something's better than nothing. Right. Instead of throwing up my hands and giving up and saying I'm whipped, well, what can I do? What can I give?
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, Tim, I'm so grateful you came on our podcast. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I appreciate your time coming with us today. I certainly hope that our listeners who want to get more of you will find your book, Find a Way. What's the best way for them to get a hold of that? Yeah, show it off for those watching the video.
There we go. There it is. Yeah, guys, you know, the easiest way to do it is just to hop right on Amazon. You can search Find a Way. It's right up top there. What I've seen with shipping, it's like 1 to 2 days unless you have Prime, unless you have like certain levels of Amazon. But I also have my own copies. I'm available if you're local, or if you want like a signed copy, I'm happy to do that as well. So, but yeah, the easiest way to do that is there. I'm just happy to connect with anybody, man. That's kind of what our world needs right now, is like more connection, right? More networking, just more people like in the trenches together, locking arms and moving forward. So anyone who's listening, man, you know, shoot me a message on social media or email or anything. I'm happy to do that. So.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you as well. One of the things I've started to realize in my wrestling career is I struggle with self-doubt, not believing in myself. And as we were talking about how being vulnerable about that helps other people with that situation, and I really felt a connection with you today during the interview, just as you were opening up about your own struggles with self-doubt and not believing in yourself. So I wanted to thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because that's so important, man. Just keep doing that, because that's where like the greatest strength comes from, in greater heights.
Awesome.
Definitely. Well, thank you everyone for listening to another great episode with my friend Tim Carter, author of the book Find a Way. Rush out right now. Just click right over from the podcast screen to the Amazon screen and order that book so you can get some more of that in your life. And Tim has welcomed you to open up to him and reach out on social media to build some more resilience in your life. As always, if you're looking for resilience coaching, we're happy to help you. You can reach out to coach.ricardo. You can reach out to Coach Alton on social media. We're happy to help with that as well. And all of us are happy to help you get into better physical shape, which is going to help transform your mental and emotional health as well.
Go be resilient.
Let's go. Find a way.
Season 3 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast is brought to you by Triple R Nutrition. Triple R Nutrition specializes in very clean, very pure supplements that will help your body and at the same time disadvantaged young people from El Salvador form the tools to have a better life. Every product bought from Triple R Nutrition supports this vital ministry and your body and fitness goals. Go check them out.